Hi, I'm Rory Hayes with the Microsoft Garage Drone Chapter. We're here today in WAMU Convention Center for GE2, the Gaming Experimental Entertainment Expo. Behind me, we have the indoor drone races going on. We'll be doing some interviews with the pilots shortly, but we've got a very exciting course today, very technical, also some good flow that allows the pilots to build up some good speed, which means some interesting crashes. So over here, we've got pilots who are working on their builds, tweaking them, making some repairs. We've got bleachers filled with spectators who are eager to see some drone crashes and some adrenaline rushing races. So we're very excited here to get started. If you're not familiar with Microsoft Garage or our drones show that we have, you can go to channel9.msdn.com where we've got our very own video series on drones, where we go over some interviews with some big names in the drone community. We've got some technical build videos about how to build drones, and there will be future content similar to this where we'll cover drone races and other things drone related. So please join us online for that. Without any further ado, let's get started with some of the interviews. Hi, I'm Rory, and I'm here with Michael Solwecker.
Mm-hmm.
And we just finished your heat, I guess.
Yes.
Heat for the race today. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that went?
Yeah, so I'm having a lot of issues with, the first time I had bad video issues with my first race, so we had a whole bunch of hardware switches and a whole bunch of part changes and stuff. And now I think we got some of that resolved, but I got sabotaged on my second run.
Oh, no. Somebody
had their quad flop around on the starting pad, and I got struck by it, and it chopped me up a little bit, and I couldn't keep going. So I got like 20 feet down the runway, and I had to stop because I got hit.
So you got some damage on the propellers then?
Yeah, my props got a little chewed up. Things are a little bit bent, and the geometry is a little bit wrong.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
So this is the quad you're racing with?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so this is a U180X frame designed by the Leadman FPV. He's a really cool guy. His name's Eric Chang. He makes an awesome frame. This thing is super durable, super fast, super light. It's a 55 gram frame, and I've got two of them now. The second one's actually a prototype frame that he's coming out with.
Cool.
I have basically clone quads, so that I've got literally a second one that's the exact same as this guy, ready to go at any moment's notice in case I smash this one. But I already had a really nice hard concrete hit upside down, and it took no damage. This thing's rock solid, and it's completely awesome.
Very cool, very cool. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into the hobby, how long you've been racing?
Yeah, for sure. So I started racing last season. I started mid last year, with the last MultiGP Nationals feed-up runs.
Okay.
So I started out at my regional qualifier, where we met together with five or six guys, and we just timed some laps on a track.
Uh-huh.
And we moved up from there. So that was, you know, the beginning of last summer. And I went from there up to the next race, which was the qualifier in the regional,
okay.
The 5A regional qualifier, which was Washington, Idaho, and Oregon.
Okay.
So I participated in that one. I came out number two in that race there. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
It was hosted by Die Hard RC, and it was a near flawlessly run event. That was awesome.
Okay.
Everything was good. Jason Flones took the prize there. I was right behind him, but
okay.
I did have the fastest time in the country on that track. So I did come out as number one on the list last year.
Wow.
And
for Nationals?
Yes.
Wow.
So for the 2016 Nationals, I was number one on the list. And I got put in right at the top, right behind the guys, the fast the first fast guys who won all the regionals.
Okay.
So I was right up next in line, and I got in, and we went to nationals at Muncie, Indiana, and I came out at 7th in the country, number 7.
Wow.
So that was a really, really awesome trip.
Very cool.
But wow. This is my first, or my second season now racing. That was my first. So I'm really hoping I can get farther this season.
Very cool. Congratulations. Do you want to tell us, so was drones your first venture into RC hobby or?
Oh, no. I started with radio controlled cars when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I had the real small, like 36 scale little brushed toy.
Okay.
You know, the real small, cheap little stuff. And okay. I went from cars to bigger cars to nitro cars. Then I moved to planes, actually.
Okay.
So I started 3D planes. And then from there is when I saw the racing quads. And I saw them at my local park, and I was like, man, I gotta do this.
Okay.
I had to do it.
Okay, cool. So what do you do besides RC? How old are you? What do you do when you're not flying up in the air?
Yeah, so I'm only 18. I'm still in high school. Okay. I'm a senior this year at Newport High School in Bellevue.
All right.
I worked for the past 3 years as a part-time mechanic.
Okay.
So I was self-trained, and I work at a local shop. Not anymore, but I did work there for a couple years. And I worked summers there, and I learned how to do car work, and I like to get my hands on tools and start doing stuff like that. So that was what I did a lot of my free time, was working on cars. I did do a lot of skateboarding and biking and snowboarding kind of stuff.
Okay.
But in terms of like the tech stuff, it was mostly tinkering and then working at the garage and then coming home to tinker some more.
Okay. Okay, cool. Do you have anything else you want to tell us?
This is my first big year coming into the season, and unfortunately I'm not starting off on a very hot start yet, but I've been sponsored recently by Quadristeria, they're local here in Auburn, Washington, just down the street, and there's a couple Quadristeria pilots here actually flying under his name. I'm also sponsored by Thunder Power, so that's pretty sweet. I got some good batteries running through me, and you know, I got some good power for these races.
Awesome. And did you say, do you do freestyle at all, or just racing, or what?
So, yeah, I do a little bit of freestyle, and I started playing with the high camera angle freestyle stuff, so flying upside down and doing some of the crazy stuff like that. It's been pretty fun.
Okay.
But I don't spend a whole lot of my time doing freestyle. It's mostly racing, but, you know, it's something I do occasionally, or when I'm on my own.
So is there a YouTube channel you have that you want to shout out or anything?
Yeah, so my YouTube channel is just my name. It's just Michael Selector on YouTube. You can search me up.
Cool.
I don't post a whole lot of videos, but when I do, you know, it's vlogs from stuff like this, or racing footage, or DVR, or something, for sure, yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with the rest of your races.
Oh, thank you.
Hopefully you don't get sabotaged anymore.
Hopefully I'll get it put together.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rory. We're here with Cody Knutson, who's just finished the first heat in the race today,
just
right?
Just on one race. Heat.
Okay, cool. So, Cody, you've been in drone racing for a while now, I think, right?
Actually, no. I've just been into the drone side of the RC hobby since early spring this year.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But you've been doing, what have you been doing besides drones in the RC hobby then?
I've been flying anything, you know, model airplanes, helicopters. I've done slope soaring. Basically, I've been doing RC and RC car racing.
Okay.
All that RC aspect since 1997.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Competitively, early 2000s, airplanes, giant scale aerobatics.
Wow. Okay. So you've got a pretty good like field.
Yeah. I'm a RC guy.
Field. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Very cool. Do you want to tell us about how the race just went?
Yeah. I mean, the race went awesome. Flying a little different system than what most guys are flying. Flying kind of the new digital system where they're flying analog. So the video problems I really didn't have, so I could focus on, you know, learning the track, because it was only my second time on the track.
Okay.
And really trying to push myself. So I went 2 laps faster than I did in practice. So I was kind of happy with that, impressed by myself.
Wow. So, yeah. That's cool. So yeah, this is a digital system versus everybody else is flying analog?
Yep. This is the new Connex ProSight system. It's kind of designed for drone racing.
Okay.
It's a little bit smaller, more compact, and quite a bit less weight. And it's a lower latency. It's not quite full HD.
Okay.
It will do 720p at 60 frames, full HD, but there's a latency. So what they did is they have a toned down version of the software. You can turn it on, and it gives you a little less quality. It's still about 30% better than analog, but 30% is 30%.
Yeah, yeah, that's a significant improvement. Yeah.
And it doesn't do that multi-pathing that analog has.
Yeah, so back behind us, we have the racers and the ground station that they're using. You want to tell us a little bit about how that normally works for the average racer?
Yeah,
and the issues that they're facing.
Yeah, so normally we have 5 ground stations or 6, depending on how many pilots we want to fly. Indoors, we have to limit it to a lower amount.
Yeah.
Outdoors, flying 25 milliwatt, that's the power output of the VTX, we could probably fly 8. But because we're indoors, there's Wi-Fi, people's phones, just all the other electronics going on.
And it's bouncing off the walls and everything.
Yeah, we have to spread out each channel quite a bit more than we normally. So today or this weekend, we're running IMD5, which is spread out into 5 different channels. And then indoors, you get multipathing, which is, you know, the signal bouncing off the concrete, off of steel, just anything. Uh-huh. And it's reflecting, so you get like multiple of the same, you know, kind of image sometimes. They call it multipathing. I think
that's
right.
Interference is usually...
Yeah, and it gives you interference. And we all know, like, if you're racing an RC car and your vision goes, it's hard to go fast.
Yeah.
So what the Connect system gave me is I don't get multipathing. I didn't get pixelation.
Okay.
I didn't get any of that stuff. So I could just focus on going fast and hitting the lines that I want to hit.
Okay, yeah. So since it's digital, they can do some recovery of the information.
Yeah, it's multiple antennas and it's sending in multiple frequencies. And I'm actually running on like the 5200 band. Okay. So I'm not even anywhere near their 5800 band.
Okay. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the course? Did you and the work that you did with iHeartRC?
Yeah, so behind us, it's kind of a club collaboration. We've got Diehard RC Drone Racers, we've got FPV Racing Seattle, and then we have Ken in the Seattle Multi-Rotors Club that all kind of came together to help this. And what they did is they reached out to the key people in our community. And what they wanted is to bring, you know, all the key guys in to really make a really nice event for here. And so my biggest role involved with this was getting the track design figured out and you know, all the other aspects, like, you know, what LED colors do we use and all that other stuff, and what size should the gates be. So I spent a lot of time and thought. We came here twice to this facility and tested it. Well, not the actual layout, just tested video and kind of the flow of how it felt.
Okay.
And in the end, I think we ended up with a really, really nice track that flows, that also has some technical, and it's great for the experienced pilots because we can really push it and go fast. It's also really great for the, you know, the novice or the intermediate pilots because it's a little bit more flowing. So my thing is, if you keep it flowing, it keeps everyone flying. You get stuff that's too technical or that doesn't have flow, it's really, really fast to kind of goof up. And once you're out of that rhythm, you know, like someone playing a piano, once they get out of it, you can hear it. So this, you get out of rhythm, you'll see it and you'll hit something.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, yeah, it looks like you've done a great job with the track and people are having quite a bit of fun.
Thanks.
So do you have more races today?
Yeah, today I think I'm gonna race 6 more times.
Wow.
Hopefully 6 more times.
Wow, okay, it's gonna be a long day.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get 7 or 8 flights in today. 15 total rounds.
Wow.
With 10 of them counting, scoring. So we get five rounds that will basically get squashed. So your 5 lowest rounds, they'll get erased, basically.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How was your heat?
Huh?
How was your heat?
My heat was really good. I came around, I put a nice pass move on Conrad Miller. Ferrati is his YouTube, I think it's his YouTube name. They call him Ferrati. He's one of the DRL pilots for ESPN.
Okay.
And then he tried to push it to keep up with me and hit something, tap the wall, but he was laughing about it. It was a great time. And that's what we're here for, you know, good, close racing, you know, for the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Which heat was that?
I was in the first heat of Expert.
First
one, yeah. So we ran like 5 novice races, then we ran 6 Expert. That was the first of the Expert.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Do you have a YouTube channel or anything else you want to
shout
out?
Yeah, it's my name, Cody Knutson. It's actually spelled with a K, so it's Cody Knutson.com. Okay. And I've got some, you know, race footage in there, and I've kind of gotten into the freestyle stuff a little bit, and the weather turned to crap. So next spring, I'm going to be hitting the freestyle hard.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Try to keep up with that Gap It guy.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Cody Knutson, for joining us. I'm Rory, here with the Maker Garage at GE2 event. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back. We're here at the GE2 event with Microsoft Garage. I'm Rory, and we're here with Corey Houck.
That's correct.
So, Corey, I understand you designed some of these drone frames. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into that and
sure,
what you do these days?
So, we had just come back from an event one day, and we're at a Mexican restaurant, and my buddy's like, hey, someone posted, UBAD posted that they wanted a drone designer. And I'm like, well, I kind of wanted to get into that. So I replied to Bruce, and he asked me a couple questions about what I've designed and what I did for a living and all that. And then he was like, all right, I'll give you a shot. So that's how it started. I just replied to a post on Facebook, and now I design frames.
Okay, cool. So like, what does the design process look like? Are you working in like some CAD software? Like,
yeah,
literally
I use a program called Inventor,
okay.
Which is a CAD software. Autodesk makes it. It's really good. I like using it.
Okay.
And so we went through a bunch of design iterations where he kind of gave me an idea of what he was looking for. He wanted to get into the StretchX market, which is this type of frame right here, where the long axis is longer than the front axis or the cross axis.
Okay.
And supposedly it's supposed to be better for pitch control, and you get faster roll on a long axis type of frame.
I see. Okay.
So we went through a bunch of design iterations. Basically, after every time that I do a design change, I'll print up the frame, actually build it, show him pictures and all that, and we'll talk about things that he likes, things that he doesn't like, and then we'll go do a revision based on that.
Okay.
So we went through a couple of phases of design, and then we got to a point where we're ready to actually cut the carbon. Then we got with his manufacturer, sent the design files over to him, and he cut a bunch of frames out that went out to the people that he sponsors, and they flew the frame for a little while, and they came back with some more comments, and then that led to a couple more design iterations. And so we went through a few design iterations till we got to the point where what we have today.
Okay, very cool. And then I notice here at the bottom, you also have like this battery skid protector, so you do some rapid prototyping with 3D printing as well.
Yeah, I got into drones because of 3D printing.
Okay.
So I started with 3D printing at work, and then I was like, well, I kind of want a printer for my house.
Yeah.
And I went and I bought a printer, built it, and the printers are run off a microcontroller called an Arduino, and the Arduinos were kind of cool, so I was like, I wonder what's going on with those Arduinos. So I started looking into our Arduinos and what they could do, and then I was like, oh. Then I found YouTube videos of people flying drones. I was like, wow, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So then that's actually what started this. So had 3D printers. 3D printers are great for this sport because it's evolving so quickly that parts need to be designed like that, like that, like that. And
you don't want to wait for shipping.
Yeah. So this particular part right here is made out of TPU. And
okay.
it's a battery bumper because we are flying in a concrete garage.
Right, right.
And the batteries are kind of expensive, so protect some batteries.
Right, right, yeah.
So I printed probably 50 of them up and just been giving them out to different pilots at the event just to kind of show some goodwill to the community because we are such a tight-knit community here.
Yeah, that's true. So you were telling me you just moved out here recently.
I did. Yeah. I came out from Virginia last year and actually, pretty much everyone I know is in this area is because of the drone community.
Uh-huh.
And they have such a really good community here. Like, pretty much all my friends here are from drone racing.
Right.
I was worried when I moved out here that I wouldn't really know anyone.
Yeah.
And everyone I know is from this drone racing community.
Yeah, no, that's really encouraging, too. It's more than just, you know, like, the racing or the flying
everyone
stuff.
Everyone is
it's a community that's built around
so
that.
Helpful, so willing to just accept new people into the community, into their group, and they have races pretty much every weekend, so you show up and you're like, I don't really know anyone here, and then you slowly just get to know them, and then you're doing big events like this, which has been a blast.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, so with big events like this, do you have any commentary or expectations for where the community's going in the future, or do you see
drone racing
in Seattle getting bigger, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Every year, I've been doing this for 2 years now,
okay.
And it seems like every couple months something new's coming out, the next best thing's coming out, and there's more people every single time we have a race, like every weekend we'll have that race, and there's the new person there every weekend, mm-hmm. and everyone accepts them in, and we just bring them into the community, and it's just growing and growing and growing.
Cool. You said you've been doing this for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So I guess you kind of talked about like you were getting into 3D printing and you looked into that a little bit. that's what got you into all of this stuff?
Yeah.
And then you went directly for the racing? And
well, I started with my master's program when I was going through at George Washington.
Okay.
We had to do our capstone project, and the project that we did was lightweight drones for disaster response. So the frame that I designed for that particular project was a 3D printed frame.
Okay.
And so it was a frame that, like I said, 3D printing, and you'd fill it with first aid supplies or medicine or whatever.
Okay.
And the drone you could just send off and it would fly to wherever you needed to go and it would land. And because drones are so inexpensive, you could just leave it there and wouldn't care that it would just,
right,
you lose
it. You don't
it.
Have to worry about recovering
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So you could send it off and it could bring food supplies to wherever or disaster relief type stuff. And that's really what got me into these particular quads.
Okay. Very cool. And so you stick with the racing now? You do much of the freestyle, the aerobatics?
Yeah, so we'll do meetups when we're not actually having a race. We'll do a meetup where we'll all get together and we'll just fly around and just goof off and do acro stuff.
Okay.
Most of the stuff that I do right now is races, just because it's structured and you show up and you kind of have an idea of what's going on.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah, and this event's been amazing. Just we showed up yesterday and it's been in planning for months and months, and I know Ken and Brian have done a lot of planning for it. Set up all day yesterday, and this morning it came together, and it's been going really smooth. It's been surprising because all of the stuff behind us is custom made and was set up just for this particular event.
Yeah, yeah. The ground between the race itself, the course itself,
yep,
and like the ground station that we have to have set up, and all the different cameras and angles that we have for the audience and everything.
Yeah, it's
a lot
amazing.
Of work
like all
it.
Of the AV stuff that's set up for it,
yeah,
and all the prep work that went into it was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I know that we got a ton of people over there just watching and clapping, and
yeah,
it's really seemed to turn into a center point for this particular this entire event.
Yeah, definitely.
A good and it draws people in. Like people can actually root for a pilot and
yeah,
and really be involved with this particular support.
Yeah, yeah, when you hear a crash or something like that, you hear the whole audience go, ooh, gasp. Yeah.
Just yeah, loud clacking in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Really fascinating to see all this stuff taking off.
Yeah, and it seems like everyone in this community is, everyone's designing something or partaking, not just at a flying part of the hobby, but they're actually designing things and building things and
yeah,
really progressing the hobby to the next level, to the next level.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
continue moving it on.
Yeah, everybody's sure like pushing it from a slightly different angle. And
yeah, yeah. There's a guy in the area that he designed his own flight controller. We got a couple of guys that have designed frames.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing something to move it forward.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time to get into all of this stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
I've never been in a sport where I've kind of got in from the ground level and watched it progress to each level as it moves forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you build a quad like this, and in 6 months, it's like there's new parts, there's new things coming out, there's something new. What's on the horizon? And
yeah,
like I know that HD video and all of that's coming out, and the D-Shot, which is the next ESC protocol. And
yeah,
there's always something new to learn. And
yeah,
and I think that's why a lot of these guys like it is, and girls,
yeah,
they like it is because it is learning something new every day, and
yeah,
and figuring out that next thing to
yeah,
to and build it, and fly.
And it's cutting edge too. Everybody wants to be on that cutting edge,
yeah,
and have that edge over their opponents when they're racing and stuff like that. So
and it's amazing that so once you have like the goggles and the transmitter and all of that,
yeah,
the drones themselves aren't really that expensive. So
right,
you, like this might have been $200 or $300 worth of parts, and most of them could be reused on the next quad that you build, and
right,
you kind of recycle parts throughout right, the builds that you have.
Right, right, right.
So
you break the props and stuff, that's cheap. You can
yeah,
replace those easy.
You get a bag of props for $4 or $5 and
yeah,
it's okay. It's not super expensive to
yeah,
to continue flying once you're in it.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
It's been a lot of fun.
Do you have a YouTube channel or any sponsors or anything that you want to shout out?
Well,
I mentioned the company that
yeah,
you
designed. Yeah, I designed frames for UBAD, and Bruce, he's been awesome to work with. He's been very supportive and listens to a lot of ideas that I have, and I get a lot of input back from his pilots, which has been awesome.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Cool. And you're having fun out here racing today?
It's been amazing.
How's your heats been going? So, do we want to talk
well,
about
so,
that?
So it's cold here in the Pacific Northwest,
right,
and rainy. So we don't get much time outside during the winter time.
Right.
During the summer, it's beautiful. It never rains. But
yeah,
during the winter, most of the time, I just practice as a simulator. So
okay,
simulator to actual quads has been a little bit of a transition.
Yeah.
So it's been a little bit rough.
Okay. But hopefully looking better later in the day.
Yeah. We'll see.
Taking home the gold.
Yeah. And And you know, some of these guys are amazing. They're just, they fly so well, and they're consistent lap after lap. I'm just here to have fun.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, it's a good weekend, and they have so much stuff going on here at G2. I hear some laser tag going off right over there in the corner right now.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing.
Definitely the right place to come to have fun.
Yeah,
and to take advantage of that community we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
So, awesome.
So, yeah, I would definitely recommend anyone that's interested in the support to go out and find a local group on, like, Facebook. And the group from back home in Virginia has been amazing. The group here, Seattle Multirotor, is just super accepting of anyone that wants to learn about the hobby.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about being super knowledgeable. They'll just accept you in. Find a local group if you're interested in it, and get a quad. They'll help you get set up and get flying and have a good time.
Awesome. Corey, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yep. Appreciate it.
Again, I'm Rory. We're with the Seattle Garage here at the GE2 event. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, we are at GE2 Live, and we are at the drone racing section of the GE2. I'm Nanda Srirama, I'm a software developer at Microsoft, and we have Chad Rains with us, who's a drone pilot, and he's very fast.
Hi guys, my name is Chad Rains, and I've been racing drones for about 2.5-3 years now. I started about 5 years ago. I work for Progressive RC, I'm a sponsored pilot, and having a good time with Kesher Racing today at GE2.
So Chad, what motivates you to go out in the cold weather and fly your drone?
Competition. I've always loved competition. I used to race cars. I was in a bad car crash a few years ago, and I found this, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing that you can do every day. There's nothing that you can do as cheaply that's as competitive as this, I feel. You could spend thousands of dollars on video games or spend hundreds on this and still be competitive.
So going to the technical side, do you build the drones yourself?
Yeah, everything I built myself, I want to make sure that I'm competitive, so in something modular, something I can change all the time.
So what do you think the hobby is going to go to? Is it the hobby anymore, or has it taken shape into something else altogether?
It's just like anything else that involves racing. I used to go go-kart racing for a long time, and then there's people that do it professionally. So it's just nice that we have another aspect now.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Still in the hobby, hopefully helping some other people get into it. Maybe kids with disabilities get the chance to fly and go outside and play again using first-person view and drones.
So I heard that you run an organization called Quads for Kids.
Yeah.
So can you tell more about that?
A couple years ago, I sponsored a few kids that had some health problems. One had just finished chemotherapy, and the other one's been in a wheelchair his whole life. And I put together some systems for them and taught them to fly so they could go outside and play again. It's like they got a brand new body that doesn't get sick, it doesn't really get hurt.
So how is the racing going on for you today?
So good.
Okay.
So far, so good. I've noticed some trouble with the analog video system we use, but Connex has a good digital HD system that I find a lot of people are out here winning races with right now. So
what is your number one challenge in a closed indoor space like this?
Indoor space like this is definitely video. Making sure that you can see where you're going all the time and having a good video link. I think that's where the digital video side of things is going to start taking off.
So you say that digital is better than analog. So why did we even use analog on our systems? Why did it even start?
Analog's always been accessible. We've always been able to tear apart a security system, wireless security system years ago. We could always use an analog radio system for video. But now that the technology is available, it's definitely the way to go.
So other than racing drones, do you have any other hobbies?
Oh, that's tough, man. Personally, I like to write. I wish I could get back into racing cars again, but Seattle just has the perfect kind of venue for drone racing.
So how often do you race?
I try to get out and race at least 2 big races a month. So I've been to, just in the past three or four months, I've been to Oregon, California, obviously this Seattle event, and also Indianapolis.
So how do you prepare for the races?
The night before, I drink a lot of coffee and don't sleep. And I work on my stuff and make sure every single thing is ready to go. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. So I wanted to make sure that I'm racing for the long run. I didn't want to get in six laps, seven laps on my first one or two heats and then crash out early on. So I've been taking it easy. I've got a steady six-lap pace. The fastest guys are doing seven or eight. So hopefully the idea is they push too hard and crash out early, and I can get in an extra heat that puts me ahead. So.
Okay, so we are at GE2 Live event. I'm Nanda Srirama. We'll be back with more interviews as the races are going on and we're just getting started. So please tune in. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. I'm Rory Hayes with the Maker Garage, and we're here at the GE2 event. I'm here with Isaac Davis, one of the competitors in the drone race today. Isaac, how's your racing going so far today?
Today started off pretty well. My practice went well, which some of the other competitors had video problems, but I got a good practice in, and then I hit six laps, which was for my first run, and then six laps my second one, and getting near that seven lap point. So.
Okay, good, good. Because you get a point for every lap you complete.
Yeah, every
right?
lap is a point. So.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your mini quad?
Yeah, so I'm running, I call it Kiss Gobi because it's a Gobi frame and then it has Kiss Flight Controller and Kiss ESCs. And the Gobi frame is kind of cool because it's fairly compact and it's very, very strong. Okay. So it's really good in a place like here where it's you run into cement and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like really thick carbon
fiber.
Yeah,
it'll take a beating. So it's a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
But for me, I'd rather be able to crash and not have to rebuild my whole quad.
Yeah,
from scratch. So you lose a little bit of speed and agility,
right. Yeah.
But
it's all about
for
like
the strength.
Trade-offs
so.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah, and that gives you more confidence to fly a little bit faster and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, push impacts. My limits a
yeah.
little bit more.
There you go. Really interesting. And I see here you got your HD cam on here on the top to capture some nice video. So can you explain to our viewers like how the video capture works and what you fly with versus what
yeah,
you capture?
Yeah, so this camera, this lower camera is the camera that I actually see in my goggles. And this is gonna be analog. So you might get some disturbance.
Like some static and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of static, especially when you get farther out on your
yeah.
limits.
Yeah,
and
especially indoors where there's lots of interference.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Indoors. But then for footage that I want to show people that don't necessarily understand, you know, why is there static and they just want to see how awesome it is, that's
right.
what the recording camera does. And
right.
What inspired me to, because my other frame, there's no good place to mount
right.
a recording cam,
right.
but I was stuck in the middle of Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And there were some waterfalls.
Oh.
And I'm like, I want to go fly up by these waterfalls
and
kind of
them?
Dive
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And it was like a super fun experience. And I got the recording of my, just of this, the analog,
yeah.
which isn't great to show people. And
right.
I was really bummed because it was like an awesome experience, but
right.
it was hard for me to share it. So
right.
I'm like,
right.
I need to build
right.
one that has a
has
mount
for
the,
yeah.
the high
So this
quality.
Is a 3D printed mount then that you have for your camera?
Yeah. So this was just an open source, I think it's one of the guys here in Seattle that designed it.
And okay.
So yeah, printed it out and it's worked great.
Okay.
So.
Cool. So how long have you been in the hobby?
Yeah, so I've been in the hobby now almost 2 years.
Okay.
So I originally got into it because I thought it was like big potential
yeah.
for the future as far as popularity blowing up, and I wanted to get into it from a business mindset.
Okay.
And so I started doing it and just fell in love with it as a hobby that
yeah.
I haven't been able to get to as much business ideas that I had around it.
Right.
And
right.
end up spending most of my time, you know, building these.
Yeah,
these
you end up having so much fun with it, you just
exactly.
want to fly it and stay
yeah.
in the air. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, I would love for it to get to a point where either there's a place that kids could go rent them, kind of like a laser tag facility or something like that, in a kind of more controlled environment, because it's kind of a lot of upfront costs to get into the
hobby. Yeah, between the goggles and the transmitter and things like that. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so spent the first year, maybe 6 months, kind of flying by myself. Then slowly I've started flying more and more with other people until you get to big events like this one.
Yeah. Very cool. So you were mentioning earlier doing the dives and the waterfalls and stuff like that. Do you only do racing, or do you also do some freestyle?
I actually mostly just do racing.
Okay.
But this was just like a scenic area in the middle of nowhere. I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah.
So I enjoy, I think all racers do some freestyle, just because you go to a park, you don't want to spend time, you know, setting up all the racing gates. So you just kind of
fly around. Tree looks like, okay, yeah.
But I tend to like get into a groove of like which trees I hit.
Yeah.
Even when I'm doing freestyle, and then I kind of mentally make a course.
I see.
Because I get more of the adrenaline rush from that than
I see.
Kind of just flying wherever I...
A little bit more open-ended.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. Okay, cool. So do you have like a YouTube channel or a website or anything you want to tell our viewers about?
Yeah, so I don't have like a YouTube... I guess I have a YouTube channel, but I only post a few videos on there.
Okay.
But I have kind of tracked my experience in a blog. So if you go to copterwars.com,
okay,
it'll link to my blog, and I have my very first build, every single part, all the tutorials that I did.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really easy just to, if you wanted to copy that, because I had no idea. Like, I'm a software engineer, and you know, all this electrical stuff kind of scared me.
Yeah.
I'd never even soldered before. And
yeah.
And to build one, so I found
that's
like
a pretty ambitious first project.
Exactly. So I found, so first I learned very basics of soldering, just get two wires together.
Yeah.
But then I found a tutorial on YouTube that went step by step. And I followed that to the T.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to mess up. There's so many unknown variables. And
yeah.
And so that got me going. And then from there, you know, making small modifications is a lot easier. So.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a really good resource for people who want to get into the hobby and building some of these racing quads and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I have like my first build on there, and then I have a similar build to this one, and kind of a tiny whoop, a little bit on tiny whoop, which has been really taking off, especially here during the winter, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So the tiny whoop is a tiny little indoor quad. Well, mostly indoor. Doesn't do so well in the wind. But a tiny little thing that's pretty much harmless. So you can fly it around the office or around the house.
Fly it around my home. Like, I kind of have a course that I have, you know, mentally around my course. And my kids love chasing it.
Yeah.
They help flip it over. And it just a great little, I've been surprised how much I've flown that little thing.
Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with even just like a tiny little quad.
Yeah. It's kind of less scary to other people as well.
Yeah. And it's, you can crash into the wall and it doesn't
just kind of bounces off.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun, actually. And at the Microsoft Garage Drone Chapter, we're also, I think pretty much everybody's got a tiny whoop, and now we've got a little course that we have set up in the Maker Garage that we're gonna start to try to have weekly races with the tiny whoops and our weekly meetups that we have. So we're actually really excited about the prospect of doing that.
It's kind of funny because we had a weekly race in Kirkland too. It's like, I would have never thought this little toy that I fly around like we're having organized races for it, but it's just fun enough that
it is and a little bit lower stakes. You you don't have to worry about crashing into the concrete at 50-60 miles an hour or something. So so I guess we did talk a little bit about how your racing is going earlier. How do you feel about this event in terms of how it's being executed? How do you feel about the community moving forward? And
I think this is huge. Like, you look over at the stands here, and we have a full group there for every race, which is absolutely huge. And I wish there was more of an opportunity for kids to be like, you can go do this weekend.
Very much so.
Yeah, so I think this is great exposure. And Drone Racing League has done a lot of good exposure, but I think having this locally really brings it home for these people.
Yeah, being able to go out and like see it in person, sit in the bleachers and gasp every time a drone crashes. And
It makes me wonder if they're more interested in watching the races or the crashes. Like,
they're both mildly entertaining, I think. So, awesome. Do you have anything else you want to tell our viewers?
No, I think that's it. I'm just having a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Isaac, thank you again for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Best of luck with your races.
Thank you.
Good luck. Take home the gold for us. awesome. Well, I'm Rory Hayes with the Maker Garage. We're here at the GE2 event. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back. We're here recording for the Maker Garage, the drone chapter. We're at the GE2 drone event here today with Sorrel Miller, the youngest pilot that we have here today. Sorrel was just going to tell us a bit about himself and how he got into the drone community and things like that. So why don't you tell us how you got started with all this?
So the way I got started was from my dad. And so after a couple of months of him, actually about a year, he started flying. Mm-hmm. He introduced me to it, and once I started doing it, I basically learned how to do it almost instantly. And so I just kept wanting to do it, since you can always just like add on to it. So I just kept on going and going, and eventually you end up at races like this. And but yeah, he got me into it. Like,
so you just like picked up the controller and flew his quad for a bit?
So yeah, like if he hadn't like shown me, I probably would have never known about it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so now you're here today racing with this quad.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about this guy and how he works and all the different layers and pieces?
I don't know too much about how it works. There's a cool feature to this one though. So the middle plate, the PDB is the whole PDB. The middle plate is the PDB built into it, and
the power distribution board.
Yeah, and it also has built-in LEDs. So when you plug it in, the whole thing lights up, which I can't do right now because other people are flying.
Yeah, we don't want to interfere with their video signal. Yeah.
But yeah, that's really like the main feature. These are the ESCs, the electronic speed controllers that power the motors.
Yeah.
And obviously the battery powers the whole thing. You got the camera, which is what you see through when you put the goggles on.
Yep.
And the flight controller, which is, I'm pretty sure, how you tune it to get it to fly however you want it to. You can also tune the motors and the ESCs. My dad does all that for me. He hasn't taught me how to do that yet. And
so do you also mount an HD cam on this one, or is it purely for racing? You want it to be as light as possible?
This one is my backup frame.
Okay.
We usually put the cameras on it right here. We mount it right on top.
Yeah.
And that's the GoPro. We upgrade the GoPros like whenever the new one comes out, because my sponsor AirViews, they kind of like hook us up with that kind of gear, and because they post that, their whole channel is just about drone videos.
Okay, yeah.
So they give us that, and we just mount the camera on top with like a little green camera mount, and it kind of tilts it so that when you fly, you don't look straight at the ground,
right,
because the camera's always at a tilt.
Yeah.
So
because it has to be angled forward to tilt.
Yeah. My dad has a camera on his. I was flying one with the camera on it, but the battery got too low, so I had to switch to one without the GoPro. And we didn't want to have to take the time to take it off, so that's why we always bring the backups.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
So how's your racing going today?
The first two heats were great. I got like 8, maybe 7 laps in the first one, and I think 7 in the second one too, if not 6.
Mm-hmm.
And this last one though, I got carried away because I had to switch from the GoPro to the without the GoPro. So it flies a little different based on how the weight is. And so I just like, it took me a minute to get used to it. I couldn't get used to it in time. So I got a little off track and I crashed out on the second lap. But I still got 2 points in, so it's not too bad. We still have a lot of racing to do. So I can still possibly add on to that.
Okay. How many more races do you have today?
Right now, I think we're on the 3rd round, and there's 6 rounds total. Right now, we're taking a break. Everyone's just checking out the games here.
Uh-huh.
And I still have 3 more. Everyone still has 3 more rounds, or 3 more heats. There's 3 rounds total. Everyone has 1 heat to do per round. So yeah, I still have 3 more opportunities to catch up on my score.
Sounds good. So do you only do racing, or do you also do any freestyle maneuvers and things like that?
I only compete in racing. I love doing freestyle. Everybody does. It's always fun to just kind of let yourself do whatever.
Kind of freeform, let go and see what happens.
You never want to do it inside, though, unless you have ceilings that are roughly this tall.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, you could hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always do freestyle. Almost every time I race outside, I do freestyle.
Okay. Cool. Do you have a YouTube channel, or you want to mention your sponsors, or?
I do have a YouTube channel. I don't post to it often enough.
Okay.
But my dad usually posts on his channel. But I have one sponsor that I can think of at this very moment, which is AirViews.
Okay.
And yeah, I told you is like, it's a company or a channel or a website that posts just drone videos of certain places or like really good fast racers. Usually they have like the Mavic, like the DJI Mavic or the Phantom, and they take really cool videos of like these just awesome places on Earth that you wouldn't be able to experience with your own body because you can't fly.
Okay.
So it's really cool. They post some pretty awesome videos.
Cool.
I do have more sponsors. I just can't think of them at the very moment.
Okay, we'll have to get that later.
I am technically sponsored by Thrust UAV.
By who?
Thrust UAV, which is the company that I'm flying for at this race, and they made this frame too. And that's about all I can think of.
Are any of your friends into flying drones or racing at all?
I have one friend that flies, his name is Elliot, and he isn't at this race because he couldn't make it. He lives in like Southern California, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So he just couldn't make it to this race, or he's at a different one, I don't know. But yeah, I flew with him at Drone Nationals.
Oh, nice.
And actually, I didn't fly with him. He didn't fly. But in Bend, Oregon, how the Drone Nationals qualifier, I flew with him. He's pretty good, too.
Okay, cool.
But other than that, there's really no other kids that fly drones at my age. So he's like the only friend that I know of that I fly with.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
Cool.
Other than, I guess I could mention like where we fly at in Boise. So I live in Boise, Idaho, and we just came up here for the race, obviously. But we fly at this place called the Fairgrounds, and we fly there because there's like, it's where they set the fair up, and they only set it up once, like maybe twice year round. So nobody lives nearby it. So it's really open, and it's like almost abandoned. Like nobody really goes there. We fly there every other Sunday. My dad flies there every Sunday, but yeah, I fly there every other Sunday.
Cool. Does it have lots of room for you to do the freestyle maneuvers?
There's like plenty of room. And they have a couple trees. And we always bring the racing gates.
Yeah.
So we can set up our own little courses and the flags and all that stuff.
Cool. That sounds like a good place to practice.
Yeah, it really is.
Nice.
How did you get into drone racing?
My dad. My dad introduced me to it, and he got into it just by a little video that he saw on Facebook, actually, and he wanted to try it out for himself. So he started doing that, and after about a year of him doing that, he introduced me to it, and I picked up the radio, started flying, and I loved it. And I'm going to keep flying for as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
You like the technical part of it?
Yeah, it's this one specifically is really cool because it just the whole thing lights up and you can change the colors and you can program the lighting. So like, say your quad or your radio is half throttle, you can make it to where it flashes lights if you're only at half throttle, or it goes green if you're at full throttle, or if you're at zero throttle it could go red as in like stopping.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. You can program the lighting to basically whatever you want.
Cool. And then you can get status indications just from like the color of your quad.
Yep. Like other people, if they're following you and it goes red, that means they're slowing down. So you really can.
So you don't crash into the back of people.
Yeah.
That's smart.
And since we fly in garages a lot, because it's really cold down in Boise at this time, it's only like 4 degrees today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we fly in the parking garages, and they have really bad lighting in there.
Uh huh.
So the lights on the quads help with that quite a bit.
I see. Well, Sorrel, thank you for joining us today. Good luck with the rest of your races.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to talking to you again sometime.
All right.
Good luck. Right. So that's us here at the Maker Garage, the drone chapter, reporting here from the GE2 event live at the CenturyLink Field. Okay, so we're here with Ken Allison, the drone racing coordinator here at GE2. Ken, do you want to tell us a little bit about organizing this event?
It's been a lot of fun, honestly. We got together with Brian, who is the main organizer of the event, and he said that, you know, he wanted drones involved a little bit with the event, and we met with him and kind of pitched him a big drone race here, and he was really excited, and it was all over from there.
Wow, and how many months ago was that? How long does this take to
Man, that was probably 90 days ago. It was probably a few months ago already.
Wow.
It's been a blur.
Okay,
totally.
So we got our own custom race course set up behind us.
Absolutely.
And we've got this ground station set up where all the pilots plug in.
Yep.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about that and all the designing and
absolutely.
So,
yes, we've got our designer, Cody, who worked on the track.
Okay.
And he did a great job putting it all together.
Uh-huh.
When we got here, the production team was fabulous, and they set everything up for us. We just had to come out and fine-tune and massage the track.
Yeah.
And from there, everything was done for us.
Awesome.
As far as, like, the ground stations and the receivers we see behind us where the pilots go, that's a simple yet complex system.
Yeah.
So all the drones are transmitting FM frequencies, analog frequencies, and those receivers we see behind us are picking up each one of those frequencies.
Right.
And all goggles have an independent frequency.
Right.
The ground stations have independent frequencies that tune into the goggles, and then everybody gets to race first person view right back behind us.
Right. Very cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so this ground station has all these extra antennas and stuff, the diversity set up, so
that's
that
it
automatically give you the best signal that you can see for
that's
your drone.
Yep, and we've got patch antennas, which is a directional antenna, so it searches for information right in front of you and blocks out the information behind us as far as video goes.
Yeah, because indoor we have lots of interference between the Wi-Fi and the structure of the building, the concrete and all that stuff is bouncing signals.
Absolutely. At an event of this size, I mean, we've got hundreds of Wi-Fi signals.
Yeah.
We've got, just everything clashing together.
Yeah.
We had no idea that we were actually going to be able to get five pilots up at once until this morning, because we weren't able to test it in the cement building to see what was going to reflect back on us.
Right, right.
Until about 12 this morning.
Okay.
Or noon.
Wow, well, we did get it working.
We did.
Yeah, there were some like hiccups in the beginning, but it seems like all the pilots can actually see their video feeds just fine now.
We had a few hiccups, exactly, where we had to put out some fires and reassociate some video frequencies.
Uh-huh.
But we worked through it, kept the program moving nice and slow.
Yeah, and now we got those non-overlapping channels and everybody can see their feed. And
that's right.
It's just about the racing.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So what got you into drone racing in the first place?
So actually, one of the gentlemen that's here today, Conrad Miller, is a DRL pilot, and him and his son are very into the racing together. I have kids, I'm a family man, and I really wanted to have like that connection with my family, not just the adrenaline junkie feeling of ripping around at 100 miles an hour, but walking my kids through the same kind of steps that I went through.
Right.
So I saw his videos, got inspired, picked up my first drone, and honestly, I haven't put him down since.
That's awesome. So then, what inspired you to get into this, involved in this community aspect where you're part of organizing and orchestrating such a big event like this?
I was kind of thrown into that situation, honestly, I guess I'm just a good coordinator, organizer, and our group, Seattle Multirotors, is based out of like the South King County area, and we like to have or hold events that need to have organization. Every pilot needs to know what channel they're on, what video frequency and stuff like that. And it takes somebody to micromanage and actually dictate all of that stuff to people.
Right, right.
And I guess I did a good job at it. So I took over Seattle Multirotors and now we're here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it looks like you've done a great job today so far.
Thank you.
The course is looking beautiful, but competitors look very engaged and excited.
Absolutely.
And there's been a lot of very exciting adrenaline rushing races and also some fantastic crashes that the audience gets the ooh and ah.
That's right. Well, and for me, you know, from as a spectator view, you got to have those crashes, right?
Yeah.
Flying around in circles is cool, but without a little bit of mayhem,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
a full show, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right on.
Absolutely. And we have quite the crowd here today. It's all bleachers. Like, every time I look over there, the bleachers are full of people.
And I am just head over heels about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it must be very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for joining us for the interview.
It's a pleasure to be here and be a part of everything and have you guys here as well. I love it.
All right, that was Ken Allison, the event coordinator for the GE2 drone races. Ken, thanks for joining us. All right, we're here with Mike Moralio, project manager for Thrust UAV. Mike, do you want to tell us about who you are and what you guys do?
Yeah, so hello. So we're I'm a project manager at Thrust UAV, as you said, and we are an American drone company out of Boise, Idaho. So we design, manufacture, and support racing drones right out of Idaho here.
Okay, and this is one of your models here?
This is our newest model. This is the Riot 250R Pro, and basically what this is, an almost ready to fly kit. This drone comes ready to go right out of the box. All you need to do is bind your receiver to it and put it in a battery, and you're ready to fly.
Cool. Do you want to walk us through a little bit about the different parts we have on here?
Absolutely. So some of the cool features about this drone. So we're a company founded by racers, but our whole mission was to make a racing drone that anybody can fly and that had a quality components to it. So when you bust it for the first time, you didn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have something that you just have to just throw in the trash.
Okay.
So what we kind of did was we said, okay, we want racing input, but we want to make this easy to fly. So what we did was we have a gel coat carbon fiber frame and a polycarbonate skirt. And so the gel coat carbon fiber, that's actually baked in. The white carbon fiber is baked in. And the polycarbonate skirt, that's kind of what you make safety glasses out of.
Okay.
So what really it provides is really a durable frame and durable drone to fly and crash a lot. Most of the time our racers are just going to break props as they're racing out here today.
Okay.
So really what's cool about this too is a lot of drones you build yourself. You can do a lot of cool things with them, but you have wires everywhere as well.
Yeah.
We integrated the wires into the board, so we have a power distribution port here, so the board actually, the power goes through there to the ESCs and the motors, as well as the flight controller, the camera as well. So, and then you can kind of see as you're looking through here, this drone's pretty cool, Rory, because you can actually program, these are programmable LEDs.
Okay.
So you have 52 of those, and you can program them by zones. You can program them to change colors when you accelerate, decelerate.
Okay.
And so that's a couple of the features so far.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you want to? I have none of ideas. Okay.
So, I can go into it.
If you want. Right. So. Mike, I understand you sponsor some of the racers at the event here today.
Absolutely.
So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we actually sent sponsoring four racers at the event today.
Okay.
Ferrati, Hazek, Amped Out, and Zero. And Zero is the youngest racer here
and
13 years old. But basically our whole thing is, we want to be out front in the racing industry. So a lot of these racing drones will hopefully be in spec races pretty soon. We're going to do a spec race component here at GE2 tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's important for us to be in the racing community, get their feedback, and then bring something together for the general consumer, that the person wanting to go out and fly their drone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
One of the other cool components on this thing is the flight controller. So we have an F4 processor in the flight controller here. A lot of the pros are still flying F3s. Uh-huh. Some of them are flying F4s. That's a custom flight controller that we design and manufacture in-house as well. So what that does is make it so the drone's very reactive anytime you're controlling the drone.
Okay, cool. And does this run Betaflight, whatever you want?
It does. So it runs Betaflight, which allows you to, and it comes with a pre-Ferrati tune. So okay. Conrad Miller over here, Ferrati, he actually came up with a tailored version of Betaflight for the tune. So as soon as you come out of the box, you can take this thing and start flying right away.
Very cool.
Might need to get one in your hand soon to start flying.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'll just keep a hold on to this one, maybe. let's see. Very cool. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
The other thing, what we kind of in the design part of this, The drone industry is changing pretty rapidly,
right.
And as evidenced here today, it's going from not just racers out there, but it's also coming to more of a spectator sport. So one of the things that we wanted to do was, you know, with the sleek design, was make this, you know, show quality, really sleek design, and also the 52 LEDs in it. It really makes it kind of a fireball through the air,
right.
when you're racing it. So, you know, it's fun not only to fly it, but it's also great for spectators to kind of see you flying.
Right, yeah, and you can customize, since you can customize it so much, even if you have all of the same model in the air.
You can fly different, exactly. Yeah. So you can program any different color, strobe pattern you kind of want on the LEDs,
yeah.
And it looks like five different drones there from a little bit of ways away, too.
Very cool.
So, and the other thing, you know, our pilots are, we have a GoPro man on top of this, too, so our pilots or GoPro mounted. We can also customize this thing to fly with Connex.
Okay, yeah, so the HD cam will go up here on the top?
Right on the top, right there. It'll mount right there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
What do you guys want to do for the drone racing community? Like, what do you guys think is different that you guys are changing up the...
Sure, so that's a great point. So, yeah, so one of the things with the drone racing community, so we're trying to change the whole dynamic from just a DIY community where, you know, there's kind of the barrier to entry to the general person, you know, that maybe doesn't want to build their drone all the way up. Our whole mission was to put premium quality into something to get anybody flying.
Okay.
So we think, you know, that's kind of the biggest barrier. We think with the Riot 250R Pro, anybody can get up and fly and race and be competitive.
Okay. So you'll buy the quad, you'll get the receiver, get it all bound and stuff. Then you just need the transmitter and the goggles and you're set to go.
You're set to go, yep. That's the idea. And, you know, back to the design, nobody wants to be down very much either, you know. So we made this thing easily repairable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very durable, but in the case you do shear off a carbon fiber arm, we made it so you can switch that out and be flying right away.
Okay, so all those parts are readily available for you to swap out.
Absolutely.
And very cool.
And the big thing in drone racing, if you do buy other quads that are ready to fly or almost ready to fly, support is very tough when you have Chinese made drones. So
right.
You can reach us very easily. We're in Boise, Idaho. We work the same office hours as you do.
Okay.
And so, you know, you can send us an email or even call us over the phone and get support,
wow.
Which is a huge thing in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell, like, these are very thick carbon fiber.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Very cool.
And when you're running, and when you're out front of somebody, they're going to see the tail end as well. They'll know who you are when you're running out front of somebody as well. So,
very cool.
So we believe this is the way the community is going to kind of go in the future with more and more racers. They're going to want more and more readily available racing drones.
Right, right. That makes sense. What was the model again?
This is the Riot 250R Pro.
All right.
So we've had racers fly the previous version since 2015, and we took all their inputs and wanted to put it right into this drone.
Very cool. Do you have anything else for us, Mike?
No, appreciate being on, Rory. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks.
And we'll get an opportunity to interview some of your racers, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. So good luck with the races.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.